Well, this evening we're in Luke chapter number 15. We're going back to the parable of the lost son, because as you may have noticed, we didn't finish the entire parable on Sunday morning. As you turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter number 15, let's read the rest of the parable of the lost son, verses 25 to 32. Verse 25 says, "Now his eldest son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he has received him safe and sound." Verse 28. "And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out, and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid." That is a goat or an offering to feast, that I may make merry with my friends. "But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf." And the father, verse 31, "And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet," that means it was necessary, "that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you for these wonderful parables, especially, Lord, these last three parables of lost things. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us, Lord, of your amazing love. Lord, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And Lord, that you seek to save that which is lost. Lord, thank you for your love. Help us to understand the rest of this parable this evening. May your Holy Spirit be our teacher tonight as we look to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I hope you've been enjoying these parables, these last three, the lost things. And remember, the main truth, the one main truth of each of these parables is this, that every lost soul is precious to God. And how many of you are thankful tonight? That includes you and me. Amen. Every lost soul is precious to God. And as Christians, it's exciting to know that the Lord is continuing to seek our lost loved ones, our lost friends, our lost neighbours. The Lord is at work. And this is the truth, the one truth the Pharisees could not get their heads around. They could not comprehend that God is so loving. They didn't know him. They didn't have a relationship with him. And then, and notice in verse number 2, remember, they mocked the Lord. They said, look at him. He claims to be a religious teacher, a rabbi, a man of God, and he even claims to be the Messiah, but look, he's receiving publicans, wretched, filthy publicans and sinners. And so the Lord went on to teach these parables. And you can imagine with me, as he taught through the, I'll stay close to the microphone, as he taught the parable of the lost son, can you imagine with me how he's teaching that the son came home, the house of the father was rejoicing. And just imagine with me as he turns his gaze towards the Pharisees and continues on with verses 25 to 32. You see, here the Lord continues in the parable teaching about the lost son who never left home. You see, there were two lost sons in this parable. One who went to a far country and the other one who was just as lost, but that never left home. You see, he was addressing the Pharisees and the scribes here, who were mocking him, and here in this explanation of the other son, we see that he would not rejoice. He would not rejoice in the salvation of his brother. In fact, he would not even go into the house, as we will see in a moment. So that's what we need to keep in mind. The Lord is now turning his attention to the Pharisees. to the scribes who were right there in this crowd. Roman numeral number one, notice the condition of the older son. The condition of the son. Your first blank is the word condition. Notice verse 25. Now his elder son was in the field. So here's the elder son, picture with me, he's working hard in the father's field. Now he's in the right place, okay? And he came and drew nigh to the house when he heard music and dancing. So he said to himself, what is this celebration going on in the home? And he called one of the servants and he asked what these things meant. Now notice first of all, the older son's hard heart. When he saw and heard the celebrations taking place, did he rush into the house to find out what was happening? Yes or no? No, he didn't. Who did he send? His servant. You see, can you see what's taking place in the older son's heart? He wouldn't go in. He wasn't looking forward to seeing what would happen or what was happening. He said, well, I'll send one of my servants. They can find out for me. He wouldn't go inside. Notice verse 27, the servant comes back, explains to him what's going on. Notice his anger, the older son's anger in verse 28. In fact, he became so angry when he found out he would not go in and he waited for his father to come out to deal with him. He would not rejoice in his brother's return. He was very angry. Notice verse 29, notice the older son's pride. In verse 29, when his father came out, he said to him in his anger, he said, Father, all these years I've been serving you. All these years I've stayed in the right place. And in fact, I've been doing the right thing. I've kept all your commandments. Notice his pride. I've never done anything wrong. And yet he would not go in to welcome his brother home. Can you see the self-righteous pride of the Pharisees? Do you see, they thought they were sinless. They thought they were perfect. They thought they were God's special children, and yet they thought they did everything right as far as the law was concerned. But they were not right with God in their hearts. They were proud. Notice his jealousy. And yet thou never gavest me a kid or a goat, that I might make merry. You never made a celebration for me. I'm the one that deserves the attention. I'm the one that deserves the chief seats. That's what the religious Jews thought. Notice his cold heart in verse 30. What did he call his brother in verse 30? But as soon as this thy son. That's right. Do you notice that the older son did not even call his brother. He said, my son. I don't want anything to do with him. In fact, as far as I'm concerned, he is not even my brother. Can you see his cold heart? And these verses reveal to us the condition of the Pharisees and the scribes. You see, they were hard-hearted. They were cold-hearted. They were proud. They were angry. They were jealous of the attention Christ was giving to these lost sinners, these depraved publicans. But they revealed themselves for what they really were, cold-hearted hypocrites. You see, the nation of Israel was always with the Father in the sense that they had the Word of God. They had the inheritance of God as God's people. They had everything the Father had given them, but in their hearts they had departed from him. And they did not realize that they too were just as sinful and lost as the publicans and the sinners right next to them. The son who never left home. The lost son who never left home. Now we can take a lesson from these verses as well as Christians. Not to say that we are lost, but we need to be careful in assessing the condition of our heart. Now, isn't it true it's possible to be a Christian for a while and to fall into the thinking that we've always been a Christian? And in fact, we've always been righteous. In fact, we are sinless. Now, it's sometimes possible for us to think that way based upon how we see other sinners in the world. Sometimes it's possible, isn't it, for us to become like Pharisees and to look down upon those who are lost and in sin, and we say to ourselves, well, just like the older brother, I would never do that. Look how he spent his inheritance with harlots. And look at me. I'm so good. When in fact, isn't it true that the ground is level at the cross? There is none righteous, no, not one. And guess what? That includes you and I even after we are saved. The only righteousness we have is the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which is given unto us. So we need to be careful, don't we? We need to be careful. Now, everyone was thrilled in the house, weren't they? The older brother said, no, I'm not going to join in. I'm not going to rejoice. This is ridiculous. The older son would not rejoice. The older son would not be glad in his brother's return. And here's a question for us. What is our response to souls being saved? Do we get excited about the idea of souls being saved? Do we get excited about soul winning? Do we get excited when someone gets saved? Do we love like the Father loves? You see, God isn't pleased when we're not excited about soul winning. We ought to be excited. Amen? We ought to be excited about seeing someone saved, and maybe they will get saved, and maybe they'll get more attention from others, but that's okay because they need to be grounded in the truth, and we want the best for them. We want them to move on, but we need to be careful not to be jealous and say, well, how come I'm not getting any attention anymore? Amen? Because it's not about us. It's not about me. It's about us being involved in the work of God. But I'm not saying we're like the Pharisees, but we can become proud. We can become jealous. We can become angry. We can become cold towards the lost. You see, what do we learn about the heart of God in these parables? What is the closest thing to the heart of God? Seeking to save that which is lost. And that ought to be the closest thing to our hearts. We need to be careful not to be like the Pharisees. Well, the older son, we can see his condition. Notice next, the compassion of the Father. The compassion of the Father. Your next blank is the word compassion. Now back up with me to verse 23. It's there in your notes. Notice when the son returns, how the father treats him. He says, bring hither the fatted calf. This was a calf that was being prepared, do you notice, ahead of time in anticipation of what? Can you see the father's compassion? He was longing for his son to return. He was longing for him to come back in repentance, to come back home. And he had a calf ready to go that was being fed, it was being fatted, it was being set aside. So when his son would return, there would be so much great rejoicing in the house that everyone around the town would hear. The fatted calf. He was longing for the day. As you can see, the father was longing for the day. And the older son said, hey, what have I ever gotten from you? What have you ever done for me? I've kept your law. I've kept your commandments. But you see, the older son kept the father's rules. But notice one thing. He didn't have the father's heart. He kept the rules, but he did not have the father's heart. And that was the problem with the Pharisees. They kept the letter of the law, but they did not love the Lord. They were not saved. They were proud. They were self-righteous. They were unbelieving. And that's what kept them from the kingdom of God. Now, for us as Christians who are saved, we need to ask the question, well, what is it that pleases the Lord? Now, if we keep all the rules and if we keep the commandments as God asks us to, is that what pleases the Lord? Now, God says we are to keep his word. Is that not true? We are to obey his word. But yet we can obey his word and try and do that and still not have the heart of the Lord. We can still not have the heart of God. And that comes out especially in the way we look at other people who are lost. How do we see other sinners? Do we see ourselves as better than they are? Do we have cold hearts? Are we simply keeping the rules and regulations to say, hey, look how good a Christian I am? Or are we thankful that God would save wretched sinners like us and we can follow him in our lives? You see, there's a big difference. The Pharisees were keeping the rules so they could say, look how good I am, or look how much I'm pleasing God. But you see, the Lord desires for us to love him. To love him for first loving us. And when we love him, we will keep his commandments. That would be the natural result. But you see, the cause is a heart of love. And the danger is pride. The danger is pride. How can we overcome being proud-hearted as a Christian? Being pharisaical? Well, we need to see ourselves as we really are. You see, the Pharisees, they need to see themselves as they really were. They needed to see how they were just as lost as the sinners and publicans. Isn't that true? They needed to see that, yes, they were had all the inheritance of the Jewish people, but they were the lost sons who stayed at home. They were not the Gentiles in a far country, but they were the lost who had stayed at home. They needed to be saved. And when you and I as Christians realize that we are just as filthy as the next person, and that the only grace that we've received is God's grace, the only righteousness that we have is God's righteousness, we are able to humble ourselves and say, yes, I deserve the judgment of God. I don't deserve anything. And I am not better than anyone else. It's by the grace of God we are what we are. Amen. That will keep us humble. That will keep us in the right place. Because the moment you and I start to look down upon our neighbor and say to ourselves, man, I would never play music that loud. I would never play that kind of music. And what could possibly be going through their heads? Let me say this. It is possible that if you did not get saved and you were that neighbour and you lived that way, that you would be playing music that was even worse and living much worse. Can you see the problem in our hearts? So often we criticise, we mock, we look down on, and yet we too were lost sinners in need of a saviour. We need to be careful of being cold-hearted, judgmental, and proud. We need to be humble before the Lord. Sadly, the Pharisees were not. We need to see ourselves also as God loves us. Notice how the Father spoke to his son, the older son. Notice verse 31. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. So this is the description that the Jewish people had, the oracles of God. Everything the Father had was theirs. The Messiah had come for the nation of Israel. But yet, their attitude was, what have you done for me? See how tenderly and lovingly the Father spoke to the older son. Now, as Christians, we need to be reminded that the Lord loves us, and when someone else gets saved, he doesn't love us any less. We still have the Father's love. And when the Lord is seeking the lost, he wants us to have the same love for them. The Lord loves us, and we ought to love others. And we ought to witness the gospel to them. And we need to be careful of having a cold heart. And we need to rejoice when we maybe are jealous or we become angry and proud. We need to rejoice that everything that the Father has is ours. Everything that the Father has is ours. We are inheritors of the kingdom of God. We are in God's family. And you know, any time we feel dissatisfied or angry or upset about what we don't have and what others have, we need to remember that everything we have, everything the Father has, is ours. In fact, notice what he said in verse 31, and all that I have is thine. Notice before that, thou art ever with me. You see, the Lord ought to be enough for us. He ought to be enough. Where does anger come from? It comes from a dissatisfaction in the Lord. Where does pride come from? It comes from a dissatisfaction in the Lord. When we realize that God is enough for us, we won't be proud. We won't be angry. We won't be cold-hearted. We will love the Lord. Notice the conclusion to the story. Verse 32, your last blank, the conclusion to the story. The conclusion of the story, this parable. The father said, "It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." The word meet means to be needful. So the father was saying to the older son, look, it was expected, it was needful that we would rejoice, because your brother was lost and is now found. Won't you rejoice in the salvation of someone who is lost? Jesus was saying to the Pharisees, why would you not rejoice? You see, the Pharisees should have rejoiced that the Messiah had come. They should have been making merry. They should have been rejoicing. They should have repented and been saved and rejoiced. They should have rejoiced that not only did the Messiah come for the nation of Israel, but that he would come for the Gentiles. That he would come for every lost sinner. And the tragedy is that as Christ preached to them these parables, he wasn't only talking to the publicans and sinners, he was reaching out to the Pharisees in these verses. He was reaching out to them. He was saying, look, see how gently the father spoke to the older son? He was reaching out to his lost son at home. He was saying to them, look, I've come for you too. You're lost. What a tragedy that is. Let me say this, it's a tragedy that when we don't rejoice in, what delights the heart of God? The salvation of the lost. We need to be rejoicing that we can tell others, amen, this month. We need to be rejoicing we can go letterboxing. We can hand out an invitation. What delights the heart of God? Soul winning, amen. What delights the heart of God? When one sinner repents, there is rejoicing in heaven in the presence of the angels, because it is God that is rejoicing. When we're not rejoicing, well, we need to check our hearts. Where is our heart? Have we become a little bit cold like the Pharisees? Well, then let's correct our attitude. Let's rejoice. Let's rejoice that we are saved. Amen. I hope after Sunday morning's message, wow, you know, thank you for praying for me. This is a hard message to preach. The judgment seat of Christ. Are you rejoicing that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? We ought to be rejoicing. And we ought to seek with everything we have to see more names written down in that book. That's what delights the heart of God. Let's be careful to learn some lessons, to understand the Pharisees were hard and proud and hypocritical and jealous and angry and cold. And let's never be that way. Amen. Let's stay humble and grateful and glad that we can be involved in the work of God.